Good morning, Holland. I wish all of our Hour of Power viewers a year full of faith, hope, and love. It is my desire that this program, The Hour of Power, will help you to develop a personal relationship with our loving God. That's what we're all about, forwarding God's love to a world which is in search of a deeper meaning. We all need love and hope, and God wants to give it to us for free. You can take part in this ministry by becoming a donor or just mentioning the Hour of Power to your friends and relatives. I hope that the 52 broadcasts of this program add up to a year of power. Thank you. And remember always that God loves you, and so do we.
Speciaal voor de Hour of Power kijkers in Nederland sprak dominee Anthony Schuller een nieuwjaarsboodschap uit. En daarmee ook iedereen hartelijk welkom bij deze eerste uitzending. We hopen dit jaar 53 te mogen verzorgen. En we zijn bijzonder blij met de steun die we uit het Nederland krijgen. Zometeen zingt in de Crystal Cathedral de beroemde Ierse tenor Ronan Tynan. En dominee Schuller zal spreken over de uitdaging in het nieuwe jaar. En als gast bij Hour of Power Nederland Alexander Bos, topman in het bedrijfsleven. Jonge vent die zich ook inzet voor Rotterdam met het project Surf the City.
From the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, join Robert Schuller in An Hour of Power, now celebrating our 36th year as the face and voice of positive Christianity to the world.
This is the year that God has made. We are rejoicing. We are glad in it because we're excited that God is doing something phenomenal. You'll hear more about that today. Now, dear God, thank you that you've brought us into the land of beginning again. A new morning, a new week, a new year. Oh, God, thank you that you brought us here because you need us. You want us. You love us. You've given to each of us gifts that you need to use in this world. The smile of hope, the laughter of faith, and the courage to take your impossible dreams and make them come true with you. Hallelujah. It will be a happy new year. Amen.
Yeah. Please be seated. One of the best ways to start the new year is to recognize where our hope comes from and to recognize God for who He is and to give praise to God for a new year. And so I'm going to read to you today from the Psalms and hear these words. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights above. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His heavenly hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded it, and they were created. He set them in place forever and ever. He gave a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all ocean depths. Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do His bidding. You mountains and all hills, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds. Let them praise the name of the Lord. And His name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. Praise the Lord. And all God's people said, praise the Lord.
world-renowned Irish tenor Ronan Tynan. Our guest today is best-selling author John Eldredge. He has sold over 3.2 million books. He is the founder and director of Ransomed Heart Ministries in Colorado Springs and is widely known for his wilderness retreats for men. He is a counselor, teacher, lecturer, and a best-selling author. Best known for his book, Wild at Heart, Discovering the Secrets of a Man's Soul, John Eldredge has sparked a nationwide grassroots men's movement and has been nominated for awards as well as winning a gold medallion in the inspiration category in 2002. Today, he is here to share with us from his latest book, Waking the Dead, The Glory of a Heart Fully Alive. Please welcome to the Crystal Cathedral, John Eldredge. John, God loves you. And
good to be with you.
So do we. You talk about a heart journey. Yeah? Tell us about your heart journey.
Where do you start a story like that? I'm in grad school. I'm working full-time at Focus on the Family. I have a wife and three kids. And he says, John, I think we ought to write a book together about the relentless pursuit of God after the human heart. That was in 96, and that's what got this all started.
So prior to that, had you always been a Christian?
No. Flaming pagan.
A flaming pagan,
yes,
huh?
Yeah.
What's the difference between a flaming pagan and a regular pagan?
Well, I tried everything. Everything that was available to adolescents in Los Angeles in the 70s, I did. Tried. Got kicked out of high school, arrested, police record, the whole shot. Met Christ in a pretty dramatic way when I was 19, largely through the works of Francis Schaeffer, who was going after that counterculture. He knew we were seeking. We were seeking a transcendence. We were looking for God. And met God when I was 19, had no church
background.
So
how did that happen? Did you just happen to run across Francis Schaeffer and start reading his material? Or did somebody give you a book? Or were you attending a church?
No, I was in the 29 Palms Sheriff Station, and that was rock bottom for me. That was the point at which I realized my life was a disaster, and I prayed this simple prayer. I said, Jesus, I do not know what to do, but I have a sense that you do. Something tells me that you know what to do, and I am desperate for help. That was my salvation prayer. That's all I knew of theology.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah, it was enough.
And so how did you get from that point to Francis Schaeffer? There's a large space between those two.
Yeah, a dear friend came in and gave me the works of Schaeffer. I was working, you know, a blue-collar job, and he came in and gave me the entire set of Francis Schaeffer and devoured it in a matter of a couple of months because I wasn't looking for a religion, Robert. You see, I wasn't raised in the church. I wasn't looking for church. I was looking for a worldview. I was looking for truth. That's all I wanted. And I knew if it was true, then it had to be true for everything, the arts, the sciences, the human heart, all of it. That's what Schaeffer gave me. And then on to C.S. Lewis and some of the great writers.
So here you were, a high school dropout or something like that, I thought I heard you say.
Right.
And here's this high school dropout who's brilliant. You have to be brilliant to read Schaeffer and these guys.
I had straight A's when I got kicked out of school.
Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. So you must have gone back to school then and got through GED or something?
Yeah, took the GED, went to Pasadena City College, made up my credits, then went on to Cal Poly, and then I did my graduate work in counseling at Colorado Christian.
So your life is a St. Paul kind of a situation where you suddenly, Jesus is just there, isn't it?
Jesus is there, and he is very real. He is very real.
Wow. So the heart. Tell us about the heart versus this. What's the difference between the heart and the soul?
Okay, this is crucial. This mm-hmm. is absolutely crucial. In Scripture, heart is central, right? Absolutely central to life. You shall love the Lord your God with all your
heart,
yes. Soul, mind, and strength. Mm-hmm. Heart comes first, right? Thy word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Okay, get the idea.
Heart is absolutely central. But in our culture, heart means feelings, right? It means emotions. But in the Bible, the heart means the center of the human personality. It's the real you is the best way to define it. And in Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Watch over your heart with absolutely everything you've got, because out of your heart flows the wellsprings of life." And what's happened is we've lost the heart. And because of all that enlightenment and the age of reason and the modern era and all that, we have focused almost entirely on the mind. You know more, learn more, mm-hmm. even in Christianity, right? You learn the tips, you learn the techniques, the programs, all of that, but we lose heart. And so Jesus says these people honor me with their lips, but what? But their hearts are far from me.
So in this book, the glory of a heart fully alive, waking the dead. How do you do that? How do you wake a dead heart?
What Christ wants to do is he wants access to our hearts so that he might bring us his life and his healing and his restoration in the heart. Remember the passage in Revelation 3, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man open the door, I will come in." Now that is true for our initial encounter with Christ, but that remains true through the rest of our life.
It doesn't stop with one invitation into our hearts.
It doesn't. He asks permission. He waits for us to give him access. See, through pain, through things that happened to us when we were young, and things that have happened to us this week, we shut our hearts down. And we close the door, lock it, and we throw away the key. We say, "I don't want to feel anymore. I don't want to love anymore. I don't want to dream anymore. I don't want to live anymore." And Jesus comes knocking and he says, "I want to restore your heart. Will you let me?" That's step one, permission. Okay, Jesus, come. Come into these wounded, broken places. I want my heart back.
Well, you know, it's a tremendous book, The Glory of a Heart Fully Alive, Waking the Dead. I want to encourage you to get a copy of this book. A wonderful man, an incredible testimony of how God calls and reaches people. John, we just want to thank you for everything you have done and are doing.
You're welcome.
To build the kingdom of God. God loves you.
Thank you.
And so do I.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
How Great Thou Art, dat schitterende, bekende oude lied... op een verrassende manier gezongen door de beroemde Ierse tenor Ronan Tynan. Ook in de komende jaren hopen we heel veel Nederlandse gasten hier te mogen verwelkomen. 53 uitzendingen lang met de extra kerstuitzending erbij. En ik vind het altijd geweldig om die bonte stoet van Nederlanders te zien... die iets hebben met Hour of Power en vertellen uit hun leven. En mijn eerste gast in deze zondag is Alexander Bos... En Alexander heeft een topbaan in het bedrijfsleven. Moet werken met vele miljoenen euro's als budget. Maar heeft daarnaast een brandend verlangen om zijn christen zijn vorm te geven in zijn omgeving. En dat doe je, Alexander, hartelijk welkom in het project in Rotterdam. Dat heet Serve the City, dien de stad. Wat is dat?
Ja, het is een prachtig initiatief dat wij vanuit Crossroads Rotterdam, de kerk waarin in zit, gestart zijn... Het is een vrijwilligersproject waarin we dadelijk met de hemelvaart... eigenlijk de stad, zoals wij het noemen, van dienst zijn met allerlei projecten. En dat varieert dan van bijvoorbeeld een vrijwilligersproject... voor het uitdelen van voedsel voor de thuis- en daklozen. Maar het kan ook zijn een stukje advies geven... voor de bedrijfsvoering van een voedselbank bijvoorbeeld. Of juist een prachtige gebedswandeling door Spangen waarin we... dat deel van de stad waar veel criminaliteit is, opdragen aan God.
Denk je dat het helpt?
Absoluut. Kijk, weet het, je kan natuurlijk zeggen van ja, we gaan niks doen. We gaan als christenen thuis zitten en we gaan op die manier een prachtige invulling geven aan ons geloof. Maar ik denk niet dat het zo werkt. Ik denk dat God ons geroepen heeft om juist zijn principes vorm te geven in ons leven. En dat betekent dus, hebt u naast lief als uzelf... uw vriendelijkheid zijn alle mensen bekend. En gij zult niet liegen om maar eens een paar mooie statements te roepen.
Is het moeilijk voor je om dat te doen?
Nou, goed, ja, ik moet er wel bewust mee bezig zijn. Ik ben niet van nature een heel vriendelijk persoon. Ik zal niet, ik ben ook niet heel agressief of zo, maar... ja, om heel amicaal met andere mensen om te gaan, dat is weer het andere uiterste. Ja. Dus ik moet daar inderdaad bewust mee bezig zijn.
Je werkt ook mee aan dat prachtige project van Clara Sies, de voedselbank in Rotterdam. Hoe is het dan voor jou om daar te zijn en als iemand die het gemaakt heeft, om te gaan met mensen die, ja, die de have-not zijn?
Ja, ik denk dat het een enorm voorrecht is om juist je talenten te kunnen aanwenden voor je omgeving op een andere manier. En dat is niet iets wat mij van nature afgaat, omdat ik juist graag mijn talenten wil gebruiken om hoger te komen op die maatschappelijke ladder. Nou, dat is natuurlijk ook een prachtig doel. Alleen ik denk niet dat ik daar heel erg gelukkig van ga worden. En ik denk ook niet wat God me geroepen heeft om dat te doen. Ik zoek het nu bewust eigenlijk in een andere hoek, door juist de aandacht van mezelf weg te halen en dat wat meer neer te leggen bij mijn naasten.
Een van jouw projecten van Serve the City was dat je een maand geleden Zwarte Piet was.
Ja, dat is inderdaad een bijzonder traject geweest. Want als je mij een beetje kent, dan weet je dat ik geen Zwarte Piet ben. Maar het traject kwam op onze weg en was ontzettend mooi om te doen. Het kwam ook binnen via de voedselbank. Die hebben contact met een van de Blijf van mijn Lijfhuizen in Rotterdam. En daarin zitten een aantal mensen die het fantastisch vonden om eigenlijk een mooi Sinterklaasfeest te organiseren voor de kleine kinderen die daar ook gehuisvest zijn. Hadden ze niet verwacht, die kleine kinderen. En wij wilden daar graag inderdaad meehelpen om die verrassing te organiseren. En we zijn toen met een paar vrienden zijn we daar naartoe gegaan. Sinterklaaspak, Zwarte Pieten pakken, pepernoten, cadeaus. Alles persoonlijk uitgezocht voor die kids. En het was heel erg leuk om te doen. Die moet je voorstellen wat je daar binnenkomt als zakenman. Dan natuurlijk in een Zwarte Pietpak. Met kinderen die ADHD hebben, autistisch zijn. Natuurlijk niet in de meest ideale omstandigheden hun opvoeding genoten hebben. En dat is een iets andere omgeving dan die ik gewend was. Maar ontzettend leuk om te doen. En ook de reacties die na afloop waren enorm hartverwarmend. En dat maakt het heel erg de moeite waard.
Wat ik zo leuk vind is dat jij niet in de eerste plaats bijbeltjes wil uitdelen, ik noem maar wat. Maar dat je echt er voor de ander met je vrienden wilt zijn.
Ja, nou dat is inderdaad... ik ben inderdaad ook blij dat het een keertje op die manier kan. Ja. Ik voel me heel erg geïnspireerd door de tekst uit de Bijbel. De schepping ziet met rijkhalsend verlangen uit naar het openbaar worden van de Zonen Gods.
Wat betekent dat?
Dat betekent in mijn ogen dat de schepping zit te wachten op christenen die gaan leven zoals Christus het bedoeld heeft.
En hoe deed hij het?
Door juist er te zijn voor de ander. Wat ik net al zei, de principes van het heb u laatste lief als u zelf, dat was Christus ten voeten uit. En ik geloof ook dat ik mijn talent op die manier moet aanwenden. Dus niet alleen hoe kan ik mijn bedrijf beter maken, hoe kan ik mijzelf beter maken, maar hoe kan ik er op een andere manier ook voor mijn omgeving zijn. Ja. En dat is voor mij een hele belangrijke focus om te hebben in het leven. En die gaat me niet van nature af. Dus daar maak ik op deze manier concrete stappen in.
Je bent een adoptief baby. Toen je net geboren was, ben je naar Nederland gekomen. Wil je daar iets over vertellen?
Ja, dat klopt inderdaad. Ik ben geadopteerd. Ik kom uit Beirut, uit Libanon. Dat is allemaal lang geleden gebeurd. Ik was nog geen 24 uur oud en toen kwam ik al bij mijn adoptieouders terecht. Gelukkig. Want ik heb daar geen negatieve gevoelens bij. Kan ik je oprecht zeggen. Met veel dankbaarheid.
Je wilt handen en voeten geven aan je geloof. Kijkt ook naar Hour of Power. Ik hoop dat die uitzendingen helpen. Wat heb je met het programma?
Ja, ik vind het een inspirerend programma. Ik moet zeggen, ik ben gaan kijken toen... het leuke is, misschien weet je dat nog... mijn moeder is op dezelfde stoel geweest als ik, waar ik nu zit. En voor die tijd was het voor mij nog wat onbekend... maar dat is al jaren geleden. En dus sinds die tijd volg ik het enigszins.
Alexander, ik wil je hartelijk bedanken dat je hier was op deze vroege morgen, de eerste zondag van Hour of Power in het nieuwe jaar. En ik heb iets voor je om straks, want Grut is nog te klein, maar als ze groot genoeg zijn om ze voor te lezen uit de kinderbijbel van dominee Schuller. Kijk, wat een mooie plaatjes. Wat zul je daar met genoegen uit... Kijk, je begint gelijk over verhaal op, dus je bent een goede vader. Wij gaan terug naar de Crystal Cathedral, waar Amanda Hall dat prachtige, ingetogen, klassieke Alleluia gaat zingen.
Great message this morning. I've been studying, preparing for it for many years. Very true. When I graduated from Hope College, great college, and Western Theological Seminary, a great graduate theological school, I entered into the ministry, and at that time, science and religion were seen as competitors. And today I see them as complementary forces. So many changes have happened. I came here to start a church, and what has happened after 50 years astounds me. I've had a favorite text through all these years, and the text is Ephesians 3:20. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. With my prior comments a moment ago, and this text before us, I'm speaking on the subject forecasting the future of the faith. I, at times, the past 50 years have had to struggle with power minds that have been introduced to me that have challenged our faith. When many people were predicting that science would wipe out religion. And then there are the times when the predictions have been made that the immorality culture of our country and our world would wipe out religion. And that religion is still a hangover of old ancient superstitions, but it has no future. I've had to live with that challenge. I want to forecast the future of the faith. I'm ready for it. Now, first of all, I look ahead this year. Faith is going to have a fantastic year in this church and in this ministry. No doubt about it. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask, seek, or think. We face the future. We face it with, we look, what kind of a moral world are we walking into? What kind of a secular world will we have to deal with? And how about that powerful thing called science that for many of the past 50 years was looked upon as the ultimate authority? You know, I will tell you this. The world cannot live without a positive faith. We need it. We can't live without it. I mentioned I'm a graduate of Hope College. I'm very proud of that. And recently, Hope College lost one of its distinguished alumni. Not before they were able to give him an award, which is a great award. I was honored to get it a few years ago. A Distinguished Alumnus Award, they call it. The alumnus we lost at Hope was a Nobel winner, Richard Smalley. Died at the age of 65. He won the Nobel Prize 9 years ago for his groundbreaking research in what has led to nanotechnology, and was the leader in that field when he died only a few months ago of cancer. Well, he wasn't able to attend in person to receive the honor, but he sent a letter. Let me read from it. He said, "My short 2 years at Hope, starting as a freshman in 1961, were immensely important. I went to chapel, studied religion, attended church more than I ever had before, and was with people who took those issues seriously. I valued that greatly back then, but recently I've gone back to church regularly with a new focus to understand as best I can what it is that makes Christianity so vital and powerful in the lives of billions of people today, even though almost 2,000 years have passed since the death and resurrection of Christ." Listen, he continues. Nobel Prize winner in chemistry. "Why has it survived? Although I suspect I will never fully understand, I now think the answer is very simple. More people are religious today than ever before, and I think the answer is very simple. Two words. It's true." Wow! Why does Christianity have a future? It's true. Back to Dr. Smalley's added comments in the letter he wrote only 6 months ago. God did create the universe about 13.7 billion years ago. And of necessity, he has involved himself with his creation ever since. The purpose of this universe is something that only God knows for sure. But I underline this line. It is increasingly clear to modern science that the universe was exquisitely fine-tuned to enable human life. We are somehow critically involved in his purpose. Our job is to sense that purpose as best we can, love one another, and help God get that job done. Applaud that. It's one of the greatest. ...75% of professional physicists now have come to believe in a God. The world has changed. Our threat is secularism, And secularism is an attempt to bring a fulfillment and excitement and satisfaction to life without spirituality. And that always will fail. For secularism strives to fulfill our need for stimulation, primarily through glands in this body. The truth is, spirituality is the ultimate fulfillment of spirituality and excitement. What is the number one problem in the human race? I've thought about it. I've written a lot of books. I've met and I've listened to some of the most profound thinkers in the world. I studied under Viktor Frankl. I have an immense collection of things that I've been taught and heard. The number one problem in the human family is boredom. Even more than guilt. Because boredom produces activity that generates guilt. It comes first. Which means that the single deepest need in every human being is stimulation. Excitement. And when this stimulation and excitement is offered to you by secularism, how do they do it? Through something that works through your glands. Maybe a pill. Maybe a drink. Maybe sexual activity that will do you more harm than good the older you get. Stimulation through secularism, they don't have the answer. The answer comes through spirituality. Spirituality, how does it work? First of all, it gives you salvation. What holds you back more than anything else is lack of internal harmony. We call it salvation, where you get rid of a thing called guilt, because next to boredom, it's guilt that holds the human being back. Spirituality through faith alone provides stimulation, then salvation, and that delivers self-esteem, dignity, self-respect. And once you have self-esteem, you begin to believe in yourself. Are you with me? I'm talking about the deepest human needs that will never go away. Not in 1,000 years, not in 10,000 years. A human being needs to be stimulated or he'll be bored. He needs salvation. So that his internal, emotional, and spiritual system is in harmony and not internally conflicted. Get stimulation, get salvation, and then you'll end up with self-esteem. And that's self-respect. And that's dignity. And live that way. You've heard me use these lines a lot. I first wrote them when I delivered the sermon for Hubert Humphrey. You can come to the end of your life with pride behind you, love around you, and hope ahead of you. Only faith can deliver this kind of life. Yes, stimulation, salvation, then self-esteem. Then what happens? Then you begin to think positively. Oh, you still have problems, disappointments, rejections, hurts, of course. But you look at the positive instead of the negative. And you keep on practicing possibilities, and you know that you will achieve your dreams. You leave church with a dream, a goal. I can be something. I can achieve something. I will. I am somebody. I can do something. I will do something. And in that whole process, you are repenting positively of the sins of omission. And only when you do that do you really bring glory to God. Hear it? That's the emphasis this ministry has brought into historic Christian faith without being heretical. And it works. Why does it work? As the Nobel winner said, it works simply because it's true. Why does this faith work? Faith brings constructive stimulation. Get going, do something. Saving you from boredom. It gives you salvation, internal spiritual harmony. Jesus is there. So you're saved from guilt, self-esteem, positive thinking. You become goal-oriented. You achieve success. You leave something behind. It makes the world more beautiful. As Mother Teresa said to me, do something beautiful for God. That's why this kind of faith that we've been preaching for 50 years will never die, because every human being needs everything that I'm talking about here. Every human being needs that. And a final reason why faith will never die is because it's the only possible answer to life's greatest mystery. And I don't care what race, what creed, what intellect, what culture you are from, and you're listening to me around the world, every human being is born to face a mystery that he'll have to live with till he dies. And the mystery, it is a mystery. It's a mystery of what happens when we die. Different answers. Some say you're dead, period. Overwhelming, intuitive concept, born into us. We didn't learn it. It was born into us, intuitive sense that there's something beyond death. That there's still a higher level of life. And it's spiritual. And there will be rewards and there will be justice. I'm not going there. I don't need to. But the ultimate mystery, the only answer, comes through faith. And it comes through the faith that we get from people we can trust. Who can you trust? There have been so many weird religions and wicked religions. Who do you trust? I trust Jesus Christ. I believe God had to do it. He had to come to earth and die and rise again to prove to us there is an ultimate truth, and the truth is the gospel of Jesus Christ. God be the glory. I'm forecasting that the future of the faith that has evolved here the past 50 years is its greatest days ahead of it. It's up to you. Make it happen. Let's pray. So Lord, what a new year we're facing. Challenges and faith will have a fabulous future. Thank you, Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. Amen.
So now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord grant you his peace. In your lying down and in your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen.
Het koorlied To God Be the Glory. En daarmee sluiten we deze uitzending van Hour of Power af. Maar niet zonder alle medewerkers en de vele, vele vrijwilligers te bedanken voor hun inzet in het afgelopen jaar. En hopelijk ook voor hun inzet in het nieuwe jaar. Het is ongewoon dat zoveel mensen vrijwillig meewerken aan de uitzendingen en alle activiteiten die we in het land hebben. En nogmaals, hartelijk dank. En als dank verschijnen alle namen in beeld. Graag tot volgende week zondag bij Hour of Power.
In the morning of my life, I shall look to the sunrise. At the moment in my life, when the world is new, and the blessing I shall ask is that God will grant me to be brave and strong and true, and to fill the world with love my whole life through, and to fill to fill the world with love, and to fill the world with love my whole life through. In the evening of my life, I shall look to the sunset. At that moment in my life, when the night is due, and the question I shall ask, only God can answer, was I brave and strong? Did I fill the world with love? Did I fill